It is 10:32 on a Friday night, January 31st, 2020. The new coronavirus has barely entered the public vocabulary. Its genetic code is online. Scientists around the world are staring at it, trying to understand what they are looking at. And one of those scientists sends an email to Anthony Fauci. The scientist is Christian Andersen, a virologist at Scripps. He is not writing for the public. He is not making an accusation on television. He is writing privately in the first days of a crisis about something in the virus that worries him.
Parts of the genome look inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory.
That sentence is careful. It is also opaque. 4 years later, under oath, Andersen was asked what he meant. His answer was much plainer.
I think this could be engineered.
Could be engineered, not was engineered, but serious enough to reach the man who ran America's Infectious Disease Institute. 3 days after that warning, a draft paper was in Fauci's inbox. 7 weeks later, that paper would help shape what the public was told. From Fauci's Lies, this is The Public Record, Episode 1, 3 days in February. The story begins with a document, not a rumor, not a theory, an email. On January 31st, 2020, Christian Andersen wrote to Anthony Fauci. Andersen had been looking at the new virus with other scientists. They were examining its genetic code, and especially the spike protein, the part that helps the virus enter human cells. Something about what they saw did not look right to them. For a general audience, the technical details can get dense very quickly. There is a phrase called the receptor binding domain. There is another phrase called the furin cleavage site. Both became part of the origin debate. But for this episode, the plain English point is enough. Scientists were looking at features of the virus. One helped it attach to human cells. Another was a small feature on the spike protein. And Andersen told Fauci those features raised a concern. Later in 2024, Fauci gave his own account of that night. He said Jeremy Farrar, then head of the Wellcome Trust, called him and told him he had just spoken with Andersen. Farrar told Fauci he should talk to Andersen directly. Fauci said Andersen called him, and then Fauci described what Andersen said.
There was something about it that looked like it could have been engineered.
Fauci's testimony matters because it does two things at once. First, it confirms the warning. Second, it gives Fauci's defense. In his telling, a scientist raised an alarming possibility. Fauci did not say to hide it. He did not say to ignore it. He said it needed to be looked at more carefully. That is the beginning of the timeline. On January 31, 2020, Fauci was told the new virus looked like it could have been engineered. That fact does not prove the virus was engineered. It shows that the possibility reached him privately at the very beginning. And in Fauci's account, the response came the next day. On February 1, 2020, there was a conference call. Fauci was on it. Francis Collins was on it. Jeremy Farrar was involved. Several scientists joined. The House Select Subcommittee later described the call as a place for Andersen to present his findings and discuss a path forward. That description comes from the committee's released exhibits, so it belongs in the right box. The call happened. The broad purpose is described in the released record. But the committee also uses strong language in other places, words about what prompted the paper or what the scientists were trying to do. When those words belong to the committee, this series will label them that way. We do not have to rely on the committee for every part of the roster. In his 2024 testimony, Fauci was asked whether specific people were on the call. He confirmed several names: Ron Fouchier, Marion Koopmans, Peter Daszak. Daszak mattered because his organization, EcoHealth Alliance, had helped channel NIH money to coronavirus research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But there is a limit to what this part of the record can tell us. We do not have a transcript of the February 1st call. We know it happened. We know some of the people Fauci later said were on it. We know a paper started moving soon after. But we do not know every sentence spoken on that call. So the call is a fixed point, but the conversation itself is still partly hidden. The documents pick up the story again in the days that followed. January 31st, the warning, February 1st, the call, and then February 4th. The draft. The draft arrived fast. By the early hours of February 4th, at 2:01 in the morning, a paper was in Fauci's and Collins's inboxes. The title was The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2. That means the new coronavirus, the virus that causes COVID. From here on, we will mostly call it proximal origin. The paper would become one of the most cited scientific arguments against a lab origin. But at this point, it was a draft, and the timeline was compressed. 3 days from private warning to draft paper. 3 days is the compression. And it matters because the question is not only what the scientists concluded, the question is how confident they were and when. The public would later hear a strong conclusion. But the private emails in February show something more complicated. The center of the episode comes on February 8th. 4 days after the draft paper reached Fauci and Collins, Anderson wrote another email. If you remember only one document from this episode, remember this one.
Our main work over the past couple of weeks has been focused on trying to disprove any type of lab theory. The scientific evidence isn't conclusive enough.
Those two pieces belong together. The work was focused on trying to disprove a lab theory, and the evidence was not conclusive enough. That sentence cuts in two directions. The work was pointed one way. The evidence was still short of confidence. That tension is the story. This is why the word confidence matters so much. Science often moves from uncertainty to confidence. That can be normal. That can be responsible. But when officials later use scientific confidence to shape a public debate, the earlier uncertainty becomes part of the public record too, especially when the subject is not a minor detail. In early 2020, the origin question was explosive. A lab origin could imply an accident. It could implicate research practices. It could implicate funding decisions. It could change how the public understood the pandemic. That made the handling of uncertainty important. A few days after the February 8th email, the same tension appeared again. The authors were communicating with a journal editor, and in that exchange, they were not calling a lab origin a conspiracy theory. They were saying the opposite.
A serious scientific theory.
That is how they described the possibility. A lab origin, they said, had to be considered as a serious scientific theory. They also said they wished they could rule it out, but given the data, they could not. The authors wanted to move away from a lab theory. That is visible in the private record. But they also told an editor that the evidence did not let them dismiss it. So by mid-February, the private record still contained serious uncertainty. Then 5 weeks later, the public paper landed. Proximal Origin was published in Nature Medicine on March 17, 2020. Nature Medicine is a major scientific journal. The paper's authors were serious scientists. The paper was peer-reviewed, and the paper made a real scientific argument. The paper looked at features of the virus. One feature helped the virus attach to human cells. The authors argued that this feature did not look like the most obvious design someone would choose in a lab. Another feature was a small part of the spike protein. It had drawn attention early. The authors argued that similar features can arise naturally. That is the technical argument, simplified. The authors were saying, this virus does not look like a clean engineering job. Nature can produce strange results, and the features that worried people can be explained without design. The paper also included a caveat. It said the exact origin could not be proved or disproved at that moment. But on the specific question of a lab scenario, the paper used much stronger language.
No laboratory-based scenario is plausible.
Set the timeline side by side. February 8th, private email. The evidence was not conclusive enough. Around February 12th, private correspondence. Lab origin was a serious scientific theory. March 17th, public paper. No lab scenario was plausible. That shift is the heart of the episode. The shift is real. It is dated, it is documented, and it matters because of what happened next. On April 17, 2020, Fauci stood at the White House coronavirus briefing. A reporter asked about the possibility that the virus had come from a Chinese lab. Fauci answered by pointing to a recent study.
A group of highly qualified evolutionary virologists looked at the sequences.
He said the mutations were consistent with a jump from an animal to a human. He said the study could be made available. The study was proximal origin. Here is the sequence. Fauci had received the January 31st warning. He had joined the February 1st call. The draft had reached his inbox on February 4th. And on April 17th, he pointed reporters to the published paper from the most important public health podium in the country. The sequence is the point. Private warning, conference call, fast draft, private uncertainty, public paper, White House podium. 4 years after the February emails, Fauci sat for 2 days of transcribed interviews before the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic. The transcripts run hundreds of pages. On the basic timeline, his testimony confirmed much of the record. He confirmed the January 31st call. He confirmed the engineering concern. He confirmed the February 1st conference call. He confirmed several participants. And he described Jeremy Farrar as the person who got people together. Fauci's framing was consistent. In his account, this was responsible science. A concern was raised. More experts were brought in. The evidence was followed. That was Fauci's account under oath. The documents add the other half. The public got a cleaner story than the private documents contain. The public heard confidence. The documents show uncertainty. That is why this is not just a fight about one paper. It is a fight about public trust. In a crisis, officials often simplify. They have to. The public cannot live inside every scientific caveat, but simplification has a cost when it erases uncertainty that later turns out to matter, especially when the erased uncertainty concerns the origin of a global pandemic. So let us put the record in plain view. The record establishes that on January 31st, 2020, a leading virologist told Fauci privately that the virus looked like it could have been engineered. That is supported by Anderson's email and by Fauci's later testimony. The record establishes that a conference call followed on February 1st. It establishes that Fauci and Collins were involved. It establishes that Fauci later confirmed several people as participants. It does not establish every word spoken on that call. The record establishes that by February 4th at 2:01 in the morning, a draft of proximal origin was in Fauci's and Collins' inboxes. That draft moved toward a natural origin conclusion. The record establishes that on February 8th, Anderson privately wrote that the work had focused on trying to disprove a lab theory, while the evidence was not conclusive enough for high confidence. The record establishes that days later, the authors told a journal editor that a lab origin had to be treated as a serious scientific theory. The record establishes that on March 17th, the published paper said no laboratory scenario was plausible. And the record establishes that on April 17th, Fauci cited that paper from the White House podium. Now, just as important, here is what the record does not establish. It does not establish that SARS-CoV-2 was engineered. It does not establish that the paper was knowingly false. It does not establish that the authors failed to change their minds honestly. It does not establish that Fauci intended to mislead the public. That may sound unsatisfying, but it is the discipline the story requires. The claim is narrower than the loudest versions of the argument. It is also sturdier, and it gives us a rule for the rest of the series. When the documents support a claim, we will say it plainly. When the documents stop short, we will stop with them. When a committee, a scientist, or an official is making an interpretation, we will say who is making it. That rule is not decoration. It is the whole project. The early pandemic was full of uncertainty. People were scared. Hospitals were preparing. Officials were trying to speak clearly while science changed by the day. That is the context Fauci and the scientists were operating in. But context does not erase accountability. If officials ask the public to trust them, the public is allowed to ask how uncertainty was handled. Not only whether the final answer was right, also whether the public was told what kind of answer it was. Was it settled? Was it provisional? Was it a judgment call? Was there a live debate behind the scenes? In February 2020, behind the scenes, there was still a live debate. The people writing the paper were still saying the evidence was not conclusive enough. They were still saying a lab origin had to be considered seriously. And then the public paper arrived with a much cleaner conclusion. This episode does not settle the virology. It follows the confidence. And confidence is not a small thing. Confidence is what lets an official stand at a podium and say, in effect, this is what the science shows. Confidence is what lets newsrooms decide which theories are respectable. Confidence is what lets institutions decide which questions belong inside the bounds of normal debate. So when private confidence and public confidence do not match, the gap deserves scrutiny. That is what this series is about. Not certainty where there is no certainty, not accusation without evidence. The public record. The paper is one thread, the money is another. Because while scientists were arguing over origin, another set of documents was sitting in grant reports and agency letters. Who funded what? Who reported what? And what NIH later acknowledged. In October 2021, an NIH letter would say that an experiment it funded in Wuhan made laboratory mice sicker than an unmodified virus would have. That does not answer where COVID came from, but it opens the next question. What exactly had the United States paid for? Next time on The Public Record, the grant.